This morning, have your Bibles. I invite you to open to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. All right. Everybody know where Revelation's at? Yeah, they ever know where the Revelation's at? All right. Okay. So Revelation is our very last book in our Christian Bible. It is the grand finale. It tells you how it all comes down. Okay. All right, from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now these words. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom priest serving his God and Father, to him to be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierce him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet, saying, write in the book what you see, and send to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, the Sardis, the Philadelphia, and the Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice that was that spoke to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and his mouth came with sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Now write what you have seen and what is and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars, you saw my right hand, and the seven gold lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. This morning, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the book of Revelation and the songs that inspired. For the book of Revelation is actually a book of hope and joy and celebration. Now, you will not know that from our modern culture. Even I'm afraid sometimes in church world, people talk about Revelation like it's doom, gloom, and despair. Like that old song off of Hee Haw. And then modern culture picks up on this, and you hear people talk about the Antichrist and Armageddon, and people being blown up and killed, and you go to the hotel, and they give you room 666, and everybody gets scared. They think something bad happened to you. You know, and it was sad that so many people do not know that this book is about Jesus. They'll tell you this person, that person who's in the news at the moment, and then 10, 20 years later, they're dead and gone, it's someone else. Or you go in some other churches and they do the opposite. And they'll get up there and give this big long chart. And sometimes they didn't get brave and say, on this date, Jesus is coming back. Now, let me help you out with that. Anytime somebody tells you on this date, he's coming back, you can be assured he ain't coming back on that date. He might come back the day before or the day after, but he won't come on that date. Why? Because no man knoweth the hour when the Son of Man shall return. Jesus said he didn't even know the answer. So I know other folks didn't know it. And I feel like every few years, there's always some new gimmick or scheme. I remember back in high school, back in the 90s, I won't date myself a little bit. I remember we were part of like 1999, but then everybody got scared because of Y2K. Remember that? All the computers were going to crash and everything's going to end. And some people got their ice cream, got their shotgun, hid in the basement, you know, because the world's going to end at midnight. And the world didn't end, and life went on. And then a few years later, it was about that Mayan calendar, right? The Mayans had a calendar that ended on December 24th, I think 2012. And everybody got worked up about that, and oh my goodness, the world's going to end. This calendar ended on December 24th, 2012. Well, the reason that calendar ended on 2012, because this is how they got with it. All calendars have to end somewhere, right? No, you buy a calendar today at the store, it might end next year on December 31st, or you might have a business calendar end somewhere in June, right? If you're a business or a teacher calendar. But like every calendar has to come to an end. And when they found that calendar, they were about to, oh my goodness, the world's going to end 2012. And then a few years ago, you had that a guy named Harold Camping. He had this date when the world was going to end and asking for donations. And then a few years ago, it's about the blood moons, and the blood moons were happening in Israel, and something's going to happen. And isn't it strange how every time they say this, nothing ever happens? And yet, when 9/11 happens, or the attack in Israel happens, or Russia and Ukraine, everybody's taken by surprise. The fact is, nobody knows what's going to happen in the near future. It's all in God's hands. Now, notice what the first few words in this letter is. If I ask you what is this book about, most folks say the book of Revelations, plural. Or we'll say it's a revelation of John. But the first words say the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the main idea. We are revealing the revelation of who Jesus is. And guess what? You all got blessed this morning, and I got blessed. Why? Verse 3. Blessed the one who reads aloud the words of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what's written, for the time is near. So if you're listening, paying attention, you got a blessing, okay? So we got a guy named John. Some people say it's John the Apostle. Others say it's a different John, because that's a very common name. But anyway, John got in trouble with the Romans for preaching about Jesus. So they threw him on the island of Patmos, a little prison island. And so there he was one morning, and he was praying in the spirit. And behind him, he hears a loud voice. I am the Alpha and Omega. And write what you see. And send these seven churches. And John turns around, and this is kind of neat doing this in Advent, right? And he sees seven candle stands. And in the midst, he sees Jesus in all his glory. And we later learn that the candles represent the seven churches. And so see the symbolism. There is Jesus in the midst of his churches. John, I have a message for my seven churches. And John did what I think any of us would do if we saw Jesus in all his glory. He fell down as though he was dead. But what did Jesus do in all his love and compassion? He put his right hand on him and says, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and lo, I am alive forevermore. And I had the keys the death and hell. And behold, I have come. What an encouraging word to be on the island as a prisoner and have Jesus put his hand on you and say, don't be afraid. I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. And behold, I have come. You know? And when we read about the description of Jesus' glory, I'm reminded of the song called John the Revelator. John the Revelator saw Jerusalem coming down. John the Revelator. And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a loud voice saying, come on higher. John the Revelator wrote about the city of God. And so Jesus gives a message to each of these seven churches. And for most of them, he'll commend them, and then he'll correct them, and then he'll give them a challenge. And you had two churches he had just good things to say about, and then the last church he didn't have anything good to say about. But even that church, he has a promise for them. That church he had nothing good to say about, he says, listen, I stand at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door, I'll come into you and eat with you and you with me. And that's a promise that goes for all believers and non-believers. When you hear Jesus knocking on that door, open them up, let them in. You know, we got these beautiful stained glass windows, and we actually got one more you can't see in this room, and it's Jesus knocking at the door. Who at my door standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, who's the voice I hear? Now, that hymn is about Jesus knocking the door of the church. And also knocking the door of our hearts. Well, in chapter 4, John's taken up to the throne room, and he sees the throne, okay? And he sees the elders around the throne, and he sees a sea of glass, and then around the throne, we've got these four creatures. And one's like a lion, one's like an ox, one like an eagle, one like a human. And all day and night, without ceasing, they sing a song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hey, we just sung that, didn't we? That song came straight out of this book. The one who is and was, who is to come. And then talks about how the elders would take off their crowns, casting down their golden crowns, and they sing the song, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So this is a song of praising God for being the creator of the world. Now that's important. God is the creator, and so he loves his creation. So he's not here to destroy the world, he wants to save the world. And then we get this great scene, chapter 5, where in the right hand of God, the Father, on the throne, is a scroll with seven seals. Who is worthy to open the scroll, to break the seals? And they said that no one on the earth, under the earth, in the air, the heavens, no one was worthy to open the scroll, to break the seals. And so John begins to weep bitterly, you know. And then one of the elders say to him, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so he can open the scrolls and the seven seals. Now, there's a beautiful song that's come out in the past few years about, is he worthy? No, who is worthy? No, the Lion of Judah, the root of David, who has overcome. And so John turns, expecting to see a lion, L-I-O-N, and instead he sees a lamb, L-A-M-B, a lamb who has been slain. That, of course, represents Jesus. And when he comes out, the saints sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, for you are slaughtered, and by your blood you ransom for God, saints from every tribe and language and the people of nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth forever. And then the choir sings out, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. You know, and talks about how they give them their crowns. You know, we have songs like, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, or Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Those songs, hymns, have to do about Jesus being the Lamb of God who was slain on the cross. And doing so, He is now worthy to be crowned and honored. And then listen to this. Then I heard of every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and in the sea, and all them singing, To the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb be blessings and honor and glory and might forever and ever. All thy works shall praise thy name, and earth and sky and sea. Think about that. All creation, land, ocean, sky, all creation celebrates Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator. Well, then in chapter 6, we have the famous four horsemen coming out, riding off, causing havoc. And then in chapter 7, we have this interesting scene of where they count off and they're doing a census and they say in the tribe of Judah, 12,000, Reuben, 12,000. And they go through the different tribes and 12,000. And so John turns to look and he's expecting to see a bunch of Jewish people. And he sees instead there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and for the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hand. They cried in a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. What is God's will for mankind? Is it just to save some Jewish people? No, it's to save Jewish people, Palestinians, Egyptians, Iraqis, Syrians, Africans, Australians, Chinese, Indians, Japanese, Russians, Germans, French, Italians, Irish, British, South America, North America, even wants to say folks here in the United States, Northerners, Southerners, Tennesseans, he wants to say folks from Alabama, from every tribe, tongue, and nation. When you see that, that's when you realize that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There is no human being on this planet whom Jesus did not die for, he did not want to save. Doesn't matter what their DNA is, what their language is, where they live at geographically, God's on a rescue mission to rescue as much as mankind as possible, regardless of their background. And so you see this great crowd, and they're rejoicing and singing. And that's inspiration from the song of When the Saints Go Marching In. When the Saints Go Marching In. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. John says he could even number them. There are so many. And in our person would be, Lord, I want to be in that number. I might be on the very back row with the W's and the Womix, but let me be in that number come walking in. Okay. And then we see, as we go through this, the different judgments of the Lord, and it talks about how, regardless of what he does, if he punishes folks, they would not repent. And yet, time after time, when Jesus appears, it is by his preaching his gospel that the battle is won. And we get to a very famous one in chapter 19, after the victory has been won. And it says, A great multitude in heaven singing, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and the power to our God, for our judgments are true and just. And then it says, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her has been granted to be clothed with fine linen and bright and pure. And later on it talks about how, as far as his vestments, it says that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, they had a gentleman by the name of Mr. George F. Handel, right? And when he read that scripture, he wrote, as part of his oratory, the Messiah, a piece of music that even non-Christians know and sometimes will sing. And I bet you've seen this on TV where somebody passed a test or got some good news and they said, hallelujah, hallelujah, right? It's in the cartoons. Well, it's not about passing your science test. It's about Jesus overcoming evil. The hallelujah chorus. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he shall reign forever and ever. Right? And that chorus, hallelujah, hallelujah, that comes from the book of Revelation. And according to the story, when it was first performed in England, King George was in the balcony listening. And when he heard that music for the first time, he was so moved that he stood up. And in England, when the king stands, everybody stands. And that's why even today, when they're performing Handel's Messiah, they'll stop and say, we're getting ready to do the hallelujah chorus. Everybody stand up. Now, and I think that's kind of true. You know, when Jesus comes in glory, you know, we'll all stand in attention. We'll be none of this looking around. We'll be paying attention to him coming in his glory. And then chapters 20 talks about the destruction of evil and talks about the books being opened. And it's interesting with the books, you got books of those who are citizens, written land books of life. Remember back when you used to have phone books, the yellow pages? You can open up, go to Calhoun and find Wamek and find my name perhaps. And that's how it's going to be at the end of time. God will open the books. And it's so important your name is written in the book of life. And then there's the other books that record your deeds. What have you done that life? And see, this book, we're in there by God's grace. And this book, that's the responsibility, the accountability. What do we do with that life God's given us? Do we make good use of it? And then verse 21 talks about New Jerusalem coming down. And we read this verse a little while ago about how God wiped away the tears. You know, and there's a song about how John said the city was just four square, walking to Jerusalem, just like John. And he declared, I meet him there, walking in Jerusalem, just like John. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. And our prayer should be that for all of us, that we all be ready and our loved ones be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. And then it talks about the beautiful city and the jewels and such and the streets of gold. And about there's no more darkness. And then chapter 22, verse 1 says, then the angel showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb to the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river is a tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You know, you think about our world is war torn, nations rise against nations, and Jesus warned about that. John says there will be these trees who will help heal the nations. And talk about that river, bronze crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. You know, back in 1864, during the Civil War, a pastor, Robert Lowry, wrote a hymn, Shall We Gather at the River? And you all just sang a little while ago. Shall we gather at the river, where bright angels' feet have trod? Now, yes, we'll gather at the river that flows by the throne of God. What a beautiful sight, the idea that the New Jerusalem comes down to earth, and we can go up to Jerusalem, and there's the river flowing by the throne of God. And then finally, the book ends with saying, the one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. That's Jesus. And John replies, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And ends, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. And then That reminds me of the song by Bill and Gloria Gaither, "The King is Coming, the King is Coming, and thank God he's coming for me." And that's why as Christians we look forward to. We don't get worried and upset by wars, rumors of wars. So we've been warned about that, or by droughts and famines and plagues. No, we know at the end of the story is the one true king, the lawful king, the creator, is coming to earth to set up his throne in Jerusalem. And you think about how Jerusalem, Israel, is war torn right now and fighting. All that's going to come to end. He's going to set up his throne. And we look at him and say, there's our creator who created us. He died for us to redeem us. And now he's our king. He's now reigning over us. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right.